would, take your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Time just seems to go so fast. Seems like our time here is speedily going by. We've enjoyed every minute of it, been treated so well. We're so thankful for this church, her pastor, for all the care extended us. The book of Daniel, chapter 1, I want to read verse 8 through 17 for our text. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall he, ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Hananiah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. As I believe I've already mentioned this week, we're studying through Daniel on Sunday mornings in our services. The Lord impressed this passage of Scripture upon my heart. We want to think about Daniel's faith. Daniel's faith. And I found the hand of the Lord wonderful, encouraging, helpful pattern in this reading tonight that all of us can claim. I believe all of us should claim. As we consider Daniel's faith and the progress and the progression of his faith, I hope you who are saved will place yourself in Daniel's position. And I hope each one of us exhibit the same faith that Daniel exhibits here. And I pray that if that's not the case, that God would work, God would convict, God would prick hearts, that we would long to have the progression of faith that Daniel had in these verses. Most of you, I am sure, know the situation. Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon has come and taken Judah into servitude to them. Nebuchadnezzar had ordered that all of the princes and all of the royal seed and all of the best young children, young men of Judah be taken back to Babylon to be trained, to be programmed, to be prepared to serve him. He, in essence, orders that these fine and most promising of Judah be taken to Babylon and deprogrammed from being Israelites, deprogrammed from being Jews, and programmed and turned into Babylonians. I believe in the study of God's word that Daniel would have only been between 12 and 15 years of age when this begins and this unfolds. And as you study the book of Daniel, you find a young boy, 12 to 15 years of age, taking a stand for God, dedicating himself to God, being faithful to God, and not only taking his stand, but persevering in his stand through decades. I believe it was Brother Mark was mentioning the other night how Daniel went through several kings. In fact, Daniel is taken into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, and he will reign and he will be in a place of authority in Babylon throughout the whole course of that 70-year captivity. Daniel was, I want to say, a great man of faith, but at this particular time, we'd call him a boy. So this message is not just to old folks, old Christians, adults, but this message is to all ages of God's people. Young person, I challenge you to look at the example of Daniel. If you name the name of Christ, I challenge you to stand and deliver as Daniel did. I challenge you to try God. I challenge you to put God to the test and follow the example of Daniel. I believe God will bless all who do that. I want to first of all notice here the purposing of Daniel's faith. Verse number 8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. A 12 to 15 year old boy, one who had been raised, I believe, by godly parents, one that had been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, one who had been raised in the principles and in the Word of God, one who had been instilled with the faith of God's people. He is taken captivity and he is going to be programmed and he's going to be fed and he's going to be stuffed and he's going to be transformed into a Babylonian. And as he's taken from his homeland and taken to Babylon, it symbolizes for us the world's attempt and Satan's attempt to take us from being identified with Christ to be absorbed and made like the world. So Daniel is taken from his homeland with the aim of turning him into a Babylonian, turning him into a worldling. And Daniel, in verse number 8, purposes within his heart. The purposing of Daniel's faith did not begin with, I can't. The purposing of Daniel's faith within his heart was, I will. Every one of us as God's people need to purpose within our heart to serve the Lord. We must stop saying, I can't. Lord, help us to stop saying, I won't, And we must have the attitude of Daniel and say, I will seek the Lord first and His kingdom. I will put God's house first. I will put the Lord's day first. I will raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I will do that which is right. I will be different. I will come out from the world. I will be identified with Christ. Have you purposed in your heart tonight to faithfully stand and be recognized with the Lord? We don't have time, and I would encourage you not to be afraid of the book of Daniel. Got a lot in it, a lot of mysteries. We'll never know. But it's just got some great stuff in it. And you and I need to learn from it that God would have us not to be like the world, but to stand and be identified with Him. And we must purpose in our faith not to be defiled, not to be like the world, not to be absorbed into the world's way of thinking. He purposes within his heart. And you need to understand that Daniel is not alone in this. If you go over to verse number 11, it says, "Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Hananiah." And then in verse number 12, you see the word servants, plural. And through this conversation that Daniel is having, you continue to see that sense of plurality. You see the word are in verse number 13. You see them. You see there. This purposing of faith was a stand that Daniel took, but it's also the stand that these three others with him took. And if those names seem strange to you in verse number 11, their Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These young men purposed within their heart. The word purpose there means to put, to charge, to commit, to determine. This group of young men purposed. They committed themselves. They determined to stand for the Lord, to do what was right, to seek Him first. So many examples in Scripture can be found. I thought of Joshua in thinking about the message. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That's the challenge that I put before every one of us here this evening. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to be identified with? Who are you going to stand with? I don't know, but let us, like Joshua, say, though all others go astray, as for me, I will serve the Lord. As for my home, we will be a Christian home. As for our marriage, we will have a Christian marriage. As for me, I'm going to put the Lord first. But then I want you to notice in the next part of verse number 8, not only the purposing of his faith, but the presenting of his faith, or the putting to action of his faith. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He didn't just stop with that purpose, that determination. But he said, I will not defy myself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He put some feet to his faith here. He has purposed, I will not defile myself. And then he didn't sit back and recline and just think it was going to happen without effort or work. He says, I will not defile myself. And then he went to the prince of the eunuch, the one who Nebuchadnezzar had placed over him and had charged to keep Daniel and his brethren. He goes to this man and understand that he is now a slave. Understand he is now under the power of a foreign ruler. Understand that his life is always in the balance. For any reason, the king is not pleased. He just says, kill him. Slay him. Any difficulty he might cause could end his life. But he has purposed, he has determined, I will not defy myself. I will serve the Lord. I will do that which is right. I will stand for the Lord. And he immediately begins to take steps to act upon that determination. Good intentions, folks, are not enough to please the Lord. Over the course of my ministry, I've encountered many people with good intentions who want to talk about how much they love the Lord, who want to talk about how much they would like to do. They want to talk about what they're going to do one day. But none of that doesn't amount to anything if after we have purposed, we don't carry out and follow up that purpose with action. Daniel, without fear of what reprisals might come, has purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the king's wine, and he immediately goes to the one who is in authority over him and says, hey, I'm going to paraphrase this, forgive me. He said, hey, these are my convictions. This is what I believe. This is what I have purposed within my heart. I'm a child of God. I can't do this. I won't do this. What can we work out? What can we do that I might be true to what I have purposed to do? This shows us the faith of men like Abraham. Bible tells us that Abraham, after God came to him, Bible tells us Abraham began moving. This brings us into the faith of men like Noah, who God said, build an ark, I'm going to destroy the world. Noah moved with fear, built an ark. It's not enough to just purpose. It's not enough just to talk about what you want to do, what you are going to do, or what you would like to do or be for the Lord. You got to follow that up with the presenting of your faith, the implementing of your faith with actions. James chapter 2 teaches us that faith without works is dead. We claim to have faith. We're going to evidence that faith by our works, by our actions. How many Baptist churches have Baptist church members who seemingly are nothing but talk? Folks, we're not going to be great soldiers for the Lord based upon our talk. We got to put some action behind it. What are we doing for Christ? We say we're saved. You name the name of Christ, If you're saved, truly saved, and you name the name of Christ, you have been called into the army of the Lord. You have been called to be a soldier of the Lord. So if you are truly one of His and you are a soldier of the Lord, put on the uniform. Pick up the weapon. Demonstrate your faith. Whatever that demonstration might require. Daniel's purposing within his heart continued with his taking action in his life. What are we doing for Christ? When you look at the scriptures, you're going to come to the conclusion that we're not going to win and influence and impress people by what we say. We're going to win and impress and influence people by what they see us doing. They saw Christ in the disciples, and because they saw in their actions Jesus Christ, they called them Christians. First at Antioch. But go to verse number 9. I want you to notice here the preparing that was behind Daniel's faith. And this is good stuff. This is glorious. If you'll think with me and really let the Word of God speak to you here, you're going to find something here that ought to really charge your battery up, ought to really challenge you to stand and deliver for the Lord. Daniel has purpose within his heart not to defile himself. Daniel has acted upon that purpose. And verse 9 says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." Do you see God working here? Do you see God preparing the soil even before Daniel has purposed and Daniel has acted upon his purpose? Folks, I believe, according to Scripture, that God does this in the lives of all His people. You purpose within your heart to serve the Lord. You purpose to be what God has called you to be. You stand and you deliver for your Lord. Don't make excuses. Determine what you're going to do. You're going to put Him first. Act upon that. Have the faith to take your stand and then act upon it. And you're going to find God is always working beforehand. God is always working before you in preparing the ground for those seeds you are planting. Not a whole lot of time has passed, and yet this prince of the eunuchs already has a soft spot for Daniel. That's God, folks. When you take your stand for the Lord, it may be at great risk, it may be at great cost to you, but God is always going before you and will always be preparing the path before you, and you're not going to perish, you're not going to die, you're not going to fail. He has promised not to leave us or forsake us. It's all in God's hand. Have faith. Have faith in God. This man who holds Daniel's life within his hands has a soft spot for him. And although he's not 100% on board here and really refuses to grant Daniel's desire, he doesn't do what I think he could have done to Daniel. He's tolerant. He's soft. He's sympathetic to Daniel's request. He doesn't say no. He doesn't say that's not going to happen. He doesn't say I'm going to report you to the king and you just watch and see what happens to you. He's soft and sympathetic. And he says, Daniel, I'm charged with obeying the king's orders. If I don't follow the king's orders, it's my head on the chopping block. But God had prepared him and made him sympathetic. And God was working behind the scenes. God is always working behind the scenes. God's not going to ask you to purpose in your heart to serve him, to put him first, to do his will, to be his servant, his soldier. And then when you act upon that, desert you. Or not have a path prepared for you. I can tell you over the course of my ministry, God has never failed me. There have been many sacrifices in the ministry, many sacrifices my family has had to make, many difficult choices. More times than I could relate to you of when you just didn't know what was around the corner. But you do what is right. You follow your Lord. You stand and deliver. And God has always prepared the way around that corner. And we've never found ourselves forsaken. God is always preparing the path before us for our faith. If you go over to verse number 11, I want you to notice the persistence or the persisting of his faith. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now we're introduced here in verse number 11 to a man by the name of Melzar. Who in the world is Melzar? Verse 11 tells us, the prince of the eunuchs, whom Daniel is addressing in verse 9 and 10, who was charged with these young folks that have been taken into Babylonian captivity, the prince of the eunuchs has delegated Melzar to watch over Daniel and his three brethren. Seems like he has delegated responsibility to Melzar. What does Daniel do? Verse number 11 tells us that Daniel says to Melzar, you see the perseverance here? You see the persistence? Daniel is determined to be true to that which he has purposed within his heart. Daniel has acted upon that which he has purposed within his heart. God was preparing the path before Daniel when he acted upon that which he has purposed within his heart by having the prince of the eunuchs, instead of being offended and angered and ordering consequences, he makes him sympathetic to Daniel. He ends up under Melzar and Daniel keeps at it. We need a kind of faith that perseveres. We need a kind of faith that persists. We need a kind of faith that says what we have purposed to do within our heart, we are going to act upon. And though there are difficulties, and though there are hurdles, and though it may appear like things are not going to work out, we keep plugging. We keep pushing forward. See, Daniel has not been flat out told no. He's kind of been put aside by the prince of the eunuchs. He ends up under Melzar's care, and he keeps at it. Paraphrasing, Melzar, I believe he's very courteous, very respectful in all of his dealings with these men. We can learn a lot from that. And Daniel says to Melzar, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, I beg of you, I plead with you. Just try this for 10 days. That's great faith. Daniel believes God's going to bless. Daniel knows God's going to bless. Daniel knows that he has purposed within his heart that which is right. He's acted upon it. He has already felt God preparing the way before him. He's pushing it. He's going to persist with Melzar. And he says, Melzar, just try it for 10 days. It's almost like he's saying, try it for 10 days. I guarantee you, my God's not going to let us down. And you'll find that our countenance will be fairer than those who are fed and wined and dined according to the king's decrees. He presses on in spite of resistance. He presses on in spite of difficulty. He presses on and perseveres, though maybe rebuffed and pushed back a little bit. First time you get a little difficulty in being a Christian and you quit, you're not going to amount to be much of a Christian. First time you're told no by the world, you're not going to get much accomplished for the Lord. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep taking your stand. You got to take your stand not just when it's easy, but you got to take your stand when it's difficult. It's not just enough to take your stand when it doesn't cost you anything. You got to take your stand when it's going to cost you everything. Believing that God is working before you, and though it may cost you, believing that God in the end is going to bless, and He always will. He always does. Hebrews tells us in chapter 10, verse 36, we have need of patience after we've done the will of God to wait. Oh, we have need of patience. Persevere. Don't say, I've tried it and didn't work out like I thought it should in my time frame. Keep on trying. Keep on persevering and wait for God to give the increase. We all have need of patience. Notice the proving of his faith in verse 15 and 16. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portions of the king's meat. What a coincidence. I tell you, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were lucky. This just happened to work out for them. This is God, folks. This is God working on behalf of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is God working on the behalf of those who have stood, those that have demonstrated their faith, those that have persevered in their faith. And this is God acting the way God acts in the life of every one of us. If we've got the faith to purpose within our heart, to put Him first, to do what is right, to live godly, to be Christians instead of poor excuses. This is the way God works in every one of your lives, in my lives, if we're going to have the faith that Daniel had. What am I accomplishing for Christ? What have we felt Him calling us to do or to be and to purpose within our heart that we've not followed through on, that we have failed to stand upon? Have we called ourselves Christian in vain and never lived up to the name? Have we boasted of loving the Lord and knowing that He saved us and yet never demonstrating real faith in Him? Folks, if we'll get a hold of this, and I'm sure there are some here who have, but if you get a hold of this faith like Daniel has here, you'll be a great, great soldier for the Lord. Instead of excuses and nothing but leaves and ashes, you'll see the hand of God upon your life, and you'll see the fruits and the results of God's hand upon your life. So many testimonies can be called from Scripture. So many testimonies can be called from this room. So many testimonies could be called from our brethren that are in this world, our brothers and sisters that are in our sister churches around this world. Men and women who have purpose within their heart to serve God, to do what is right, to be identifiable with Him, who have acted upon that by living their faith, not just boasting of it, but living of their faith, and finding God faithful in preparing the ground before them. And they have suffered, and there have been losses, but God has always gone before them, preparing the way, and God has always blessed in the end. I look back over my life and my ministry, and God amazes me. I am so blessed. God has been so good to me and my family. I look back at all the tough choices, the sacrifices. I look back at so many things that my children had to go through. I look back and I can think about things my children had to do without just because they were a preacher's kid. And I look at how God has blessed me and my wife and my children. And I just feel, though I can't be classed as wealthy or rich or never will be, I feel like one of the wealthiest people in the world. I remember hearing Brother Harvey give his testimony so many times. I was blessed to be a friend of Brother Harvey and to be in his home, preach for him, have him preach for me. Brother Garner Smith, same testimony. They just stood in awe at all the stuff they had. Brother Harvey had a house, a parsonage that he lived in with a garage full of stuff. He had another garage on another piece of property towards Russellville. Took me there full of stuff. Brother Garner Smith talked about how blessed he felt. Never imagined he'd ever have the things God had blessed him with having. And they never took glory or credit. Their testimony was, God has blessed me so much just by demonstrating the kind of faith that Daniel did here. It doesn't come easy. Doesn't come overnight. Doesn't come in our time. It comes in God's time. But my, how blessed God's people who have tried God and found Him faithful can testify to being. The wicked prosper, and we're puzzled at that. The Psalms and the Proverbs talk about not being puzzled at the wicked prospering. Just trust God. He'll prosper us if we'll just trust. And our prospering will be eternal. Their prospering is always temporal. And they one day find themselves with nothing, forever to be separated from the Lord. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice and was pleasing to God. Noah built an ark to the saving of his soul and the saving of his family. Abraham truly was made a great nation. His seed was and is innumerable and continues to this day. Study the life of Joseph. One of my favorite Old Testament Bible characters is Joseph. A man put in maybe more difficult situations than Daniel. Thrown in a pit, left for dead, yanked out of the pit, sold into slavery, lied about, thrown into jail. And all through the testimony of Joseph, you see one who stands and delivers. You see one that does the right thing. You see one who says, I'm a child of God, and I'm going to stand with my God, and I'm going to trust my God. I'll not compromise. And you see God blessing Joseph and God raising Joseph to a place of great authority. And through Joseph, God delivering the nation Israel from Egyptian bondage one day. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat, took away their wine, said, this worked. Your God has proven himself. This is what we're going to do. But don't miss verse number 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. We've seen their faith proven. The end of those 10 days, God was faithful to them. And they were found fatter and fairer. But after this, you see a continued profiting of their faith. Even after, I just love to look at this progression. I will not defile myself. He purposes himself not to be defiled, to stand with what he knows. He knows is right, what God would have him to do. He doesn't just purpose it. He acts upon it. He takes those steps necessary to be true to what he has purposed. God is preparing the way before him. God brings this time of testing. He's proven true and faithful to Daniel and his brethren. And then God, over and above all that, blesses Daniel and these three brethren. After all of it, God heaps on more blessings. It brought not only God's blessings, but it brought the abundant blessings of God into Daniel's life. I thought of Malachi chapter 3, and I'm not going to preach on tithing. Don't anybody get nervous here. But I love a challenge there in Malachi 3 that God himself gives. God says, prove me now. Prove me now herewith. And see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there not be room enough to receive it. God says that to every true child of his that's in this room tonight. Purpose within your heart. Stop making excuses. You name the name of Christ. Purpose within your heart what God would have you to do. Purpose within your heart that which is right to do. Purpose within your heart that which you know God's word tells you to do. Purpose in your heart to stand and deliver for the Lord. Purpose in your heart to be identified with the Lord. And then act upon those purposes. Take the proper steps, the proper action. Determined to take a stand requires you going to your boss and saying, hey, this is my conviction. Take that action. However you want to apply that, take the stand. And there might be great risk there, but trust God to prepare the way before you. And he will. And he will bless you through all of it. And you'll look back and you will find God faithful, guaranteed, with the authority of this blessed, absolute book of truth. You will find God faithful and you will find God, a God who will bless you over and above the blessing. You're going to find God is a God of His Word. You really prove Him. He's going to open up those windows, and you're not going to have room enough to receive it. That's the way faith works. Whatever God has called you to do, whatever God has called you to be, don't make excuses. Stand and deliver. Say, I will. And then do it. Prove God. Try God. Persevere in it. You'll find God is faithful. May God help us. Thank you very much.